Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds, a Thanksgiving edition. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Gavin Spittle. The star of the program is two-time Stanley Cup champion Craig Ludwig. If you only got to hear what happens prior and after the show and the beating that I take from doing this show from one Craig Ludwig. It is abuse. It is harassment. It's just not right.
The only thing you left out is it's well-deserved.
Maybe.
Every week, you don't know how to hit the go button.
Okay.
From your big studio there in Dallas or wherever.
All right, we're not going to, you know, for those that don't know, you know, I sent something to Craig. It showed up in his spam folder. He didn't know how to put it back into his inbox. He did eventually, and then it came through. So we're good. It's not on me.
You want to be careful because I can just start going off from day one of seeing the Three Stooges in the studio there, hitting all the buttons and hearing and watching everything that goes on and having to text you and say, I can hear and see you guys.
Yeah.
And then next week it's this, and then the following week it's that. And here we are. So these are the outtakes that would probably, if we have any ratings whatsoever, this should give it a bump. But they could hear and see the outtakes.
The outtakes would be good. Like, yeah. You sending me a picture of you seeing me, and you sent me, you drew them like similar to John Madden drawing on the TV. You drew a middle finger and texted me that.
And it was a big fat middle finger.
I know.
Yeah. All right.
All right,
it was well deserved, by the way. As
of course,
I said earlier.
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
it's all in love, right? That's what it is, right?
Yeah. All right.
All right, Edmonton.
So now
in town
you're telling
tonight.
Me we're having an abbreviated show today.
Yes, we are having an abbreviated Thanksgiving edition, but we wanted to bring this to you weekly so that you guys could hear some good hockey talk and super excited about Edmonton in town. If you're listening before the game or even after. I did want to talk because you have firsthand knowledge. Personally, I'm super happy for Dave Tippett as a coach. If you look at his track record, Craig, as a coach, he did really well here and then went to a Arizona team that just had all kinds of financial issues, parking issues, stadium issues, you know, way out in Glendale, Arizona issues. Yet Tip would always pull that team together as a team that was kind of like borderline making the playoffs. I was surprised Arizona let him go. Then he goes up to Seattle and helps create that. I thought he was going to be the coach there. And now he goes to Edmonton. And I'm just real happy for him because I think that, you know, overall, he's one of the better coaches in the NHL that probably doesn't get the credit he deserves. And you have firsthand knowledge because you played with him in college and you've known him throughout the years.
Yeah, he's a hockey coach through and through. I guess you would obviously by now call him a lifer. I think even as a teammate, he was doing those kind of sorts of things during games, in games, in the locker room, in the periods, in college and things like that. And I think that if you ever have an opportunity to listen to, you know, and again, there's so many coaches that have been around this league for a long, long time. I always find it interesting when they do interviews and they give you a good 10, 15 minutes and they ask them about their philosophies and how they handled certain situations that, you know, we've all been through for a long, long time. And how did they handle it? And you can reflect back and go, yeah, that's exactly how I did it. And then there's some of them you go, nah, not really how you did it. So you can tell the ones that are genuine and he's a genuine one. And he right now, and I'm sure you know because you listen to the NHL Network, I believe. I think there's a clip of Tip on there talking about the fans, and he just puts it. I wish you were able to pull it up right now and play it, which you could, even though you're in that big studio there. But I know that would take us way too long for you to figure out how to do that.
Stick to the game plan.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, just talking about, you really don't know how much you miss the fans until they're back. And he's got this big, deep voice, and he could be doing radio. You guys should try to hire him. He could be doing radio with that voice of his, but he's got this calm, cool demeanor on the bench. But I'll tell you, he can snap behind the cameras. And I think the most important thing, I think, for any coach in any sport is to be able to have the respect of your players. And I believe that's exactly what he has. And when you mentioned Seattle, I think he was brought in there to probably be something but the coach. And when that job probably wasn't offered to him, and there were other guys that names were being mentioned or thrown into the hat or into the ring, that he probably saw an opportunity. And why wouldn't you want to go work with, as of today, the top two players in the NHL, as far as I'm concerned, in Edmonton?
Couple of questions on that. When you played with him at North Dakota, did you see him as a future coach? And then you faced off against him when you were in Montreal and he was in Hartford. And what was that like? Was there some chirping between you guys? You actually were roommates with him at North Dakota. And then, you know, as a leader, I think what one of the things that people forget was when the Stars hired him, he was actually an offensive specialist in LA. But when he came here, he kind of adapted into a defensive mindset. So I think that says a lot about him as a coach as well.
You know what? I've heard that before. And I don't know where people get that he was an offensive specialist or a defensive specialist. I think that Dave Tippett teams have always had the same characteristic of being hard to play against. As a player, he was the Guy Carbonneau. He was a Troy Murray, who was another guy that I played with in North Dakota, and he's doing things in Chicago right now with their broadcasting. They were centermen that controlled games, and they were defensive centermen. And it wasn't that he didn't have the offensive ability, just like Carbo or Muzzin or Troy Murray, but they knew how to play the game from the other side of the puck. And they're so valuable. And you know, a lot of teams, they call those guys like your third line. And I've never looked at them as a third line. I never looked at Dave Tippett as a third line center. I think the way I look at it is that they're the second line, because you have your scoring line. Let's just say that's the Madonna line. And then you come back with a Nieuwendyk line, which is your second line, going back to our day. And that was kind of our second line. And then you'd come back with Carbo's line. But Carbo's role was as important as putting the puck in the net. It was trying to keep the opposing top line out of that opportunity, scoring chance, scoring goals, penalty kill. And so that's why I always looked at those guys as a second line. and that's what Tip was. In Hartford, when he was there, I was in Montreal at the time, you would always see him facing off against the top lines. And he was that guy that took faceoffs when you're up a goal or down a goal at the end of the period, end of the game, penalty kill. You know, so in critical situations, when you're trying to protect the lead or you know, keep it where it's at. So, but you know, again, to me, it's just the hockey knowledge, the hockey sense as players. When you don't have the God-given talents like a lot of players do, or I shouldn't say a lot, there's one or two on every team, and they just have that ability to do anything and everything at any time of the game that they really care to. And if you don't have those characteristics all the time, you have to be hockey smart. You have to have hockey sense. You need to know where to be on the ice to defend and where to get to a certain area of the ice to be in the right spot at the right time. And I just think you have to think the game better. And I think that because so many other things come to them top elite players, just naturally, when they don't come to you, you have to kind of be ahead of everything. You have to look kind of if you had a crystal ball, and you have to, my thing is I was always dealing in tendencies. I would always try to remember the players that I was going to play against, what they tried to do. And so I could be in that spot before they got there and make them do something else. And Dave Tippett was that kind of a guy. And I think he was the, I mean, you look at it now and you look at where this Edmonton team sits in the standings and what they've done the last couple of years. I think he was the ideal hire to, number one, start with going into that team and working with Connor McDavid. You know, I think there's been a lot, not a lot of criticism, but, you know, those are the kind of players you just let them be what they're be and score goals. But I think now you're seeing McDavid is more responsible at time and score. You know, I go back to that all the time. I mean, he's always going to try and most of the time he succeeds with highlight goals and putting another goal or assisting on another goal to his to Robin. He's Batman to Robin, to Leon Draisaitl, who I believe is still leading the league in goals right now. But he's a responsible player now. He's not just a one-dimensional player. And I think when he came into the league, it was all flash and dash, which he still is, and he's only getting better. But you can see him taking more important faceoffs. You can see him coming underneath the puck. When it's the last minute of a period, he may not take that extra chance depending on who he's playing against. So that's all in direct result of a Dave Tippett coming in and working with, you know, the best players on the planet.
So when you're in a scrum and you see a guy like Tip, do you grab
him?
If I'm
in a slum, are you saying where I live in a slum?
Scrum.
Oh, I thought you said slum. I thought we were on camera. You could see where I live. All right.
So when you're in a scrum, did you ever grab Tippett and have a laugh? Or I mean,
No. Tip wasn't really the guy that was even going to be hanging around the scrum.
Okay. All right.
You know, yeah, no, that wasn't what he did. And he did, he wasn't that, you know, I've mentioned Kenny Linsman before. And if you know Kenny Linsman, when he played against him, he was the rat. I mean, that was his nickname, the rat. And so he wasn't running around trying to stick guys and get under your skin and things like that. Tip frustrated you the way that he was always in the right spot at the right time.
Okay. Let's move on to some Stars talk. Jake Oettinger, I think, has played real well. Well, obviously, he's leading the NHL right now in goals against since coming up. It'll be real interesting. What the Stars are going to do. They're about to have three healthy goaltenders. I personally don't want to send Jake Oettinger back down. I understand probably for cap constraints they might have to and for placement, but at the same time, I just don't know what else this kid has to prove.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think he's only going to continue to get better. And, you know, I look at it to me, and again, I haven't seen anything. I don't know if you have. I haven't seen anything if they've named a starter for tonight. They should be off the ice already, so I'm sure somebody will have their little Twitter finger going right now and seeing who's playing. But I would say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And again, it can get late really early. And, you know, where the Stars are in the standings, and I know you haven't even played 20 games yet, but you got to be looking, and you got to be seeing where you're at in the standings. And, you know, got a team coming in here tonight that can put some goals up. And, you know, he had a good performance, and the guys in front of him played really well too. So you can't take anything away from the guys that played in front of him. And when you see that, you take it all in. Did our team play better for what reasons? Did something click in the last game or two or three or whatever it may be? Was it because of Oettinger? Is it just because of the team? And are they keeping things a little bit more to the perimeter, playing a little bit stronger in front of Jake, or whatever the reasons may be? But I go back to where you are in the standings. And I've said this before, is we have to expect that Colorado is going to start coming. And they, you know, they found a way to come back last night and win a hockey game, and Vegas got beat. But I just think that once they start getting everybody back and getting into a rhythm, and they get Pacioretty back there in Vegas, they're probably their biggest goal scorer. They're going to start climbing up, and you just can't get too far out of that wild card spot for sure. And especially in your division, if you can start catching, you know, Minnesota's playing well, and I think Winnipeg's going to be strong all year long. And so anyways, and St. Louis is a tough team. Even, you know, they played well against St. Louis in their last game, and
they did.
I thought they did a lot of things right there. The only thing I think the conversation in the last day or so would be, you cannot take as many penalties against these Edmonton Oilers like you did in that St. Louis game.
Yeah.
Because it's probably not going to turn out well for you. Edmonton comes in here. I think they're sitting at number one, but Dallas is in the top three or four as far as power play goals. So, you know, you kind of look at these kind of games, you know, is it going to be special teams and goaltending? And so if that's what it is, who gives you your best chance to win? But I think Ottinger played well. I personally think he deserves to get back in there. The other thing for me is you guys better be ready to start on time, because Edmonton is the number one team in the league as far as scoring goals in the first period. So,
and he is in net tonight, first off the ice in practice. Khudobin will be backing him up. No Glenn Denning on the ice, still suffering from blocking that shot, but he will play tonight. Morning skate. Robertson, Hintz, Pavelski, first line. Raffle, Ben, Gurianov, Kiviranta, Sagan, Kiro, Peterson, Foxa, Radulov. Granted, it's just practice, but a couple of changes, and they will fit Glenn Denning in. So one of those players will come out tonight. The defensive alignment is Suter Klingberg, Lindell Haskinen, Secker is back in with Hakanpa and Hanley.
There you go. I think that, you know, Glenn Denning's been around for a long time. And I think that you need a guy like that, especially if you give up a few opportunities on the power play. He's a great penalty killer. He will not be shy to jump in front of another puck just because he got one last game. He's been doing it for a long time. So hopefully he's okay. I think you'll miss him if he's not in there on that part of the game tonight on the special team side. But, you know, and again, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, you know, with the exception of a possible change right there, I think Otter deserves to be back in there tonight. And they got to find ways to put one game on top of another. I mean, you don't look at your second or third period. You look at the start of the hockey game. I think another area tonight for me, because you've got what Tip will do. And there's times when Tip goes into games like this, he'll split those two guys up. He'll put Dreisaitl and McDavid on different lines to try to give him a little bit more balance. But ultimately, he'll come back to it. He'll jump on him when there's offensive zone faceoffs. He'll put those two guys on the line to get out there. And for me, that comes back to I'd have Jamie Benn out there taking a faceoff. I just think, and I've talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I just think Jamie can be a beast on faceoffs. I think he wins draws where he wants to win them. I think he understands the critical draws. And every time that there's a defensive zone faceoff for the Dallas Stars tonight, and that number 97 is on the other side, I consider it a critical draw.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think they need to start with the puck. And, you know, they create so much when they're in the offensive zone and those guys are on the ice. They create so much with their speed, their skill, and they don't like to give it away. They're not really a chip and chase kind of team, and they put it tape to tape. And so your positioning tonight, as much as you can keep them to the perimeter through the neutral zone and enter from there, I think it's going to be a benefit for the Stars. But I would have your best faceoff guys on the ice when you've got, you know, those two guys taking time up in your defensive zone, because you don't want them starting with the puck.
Yeah, I would think that the Stars, if they can provide some off, basically make McDavid and Dreisaitl work on the defensive end as well. I would think that would hopefully tire them up. So when they do get toward the offensive zone, they got to make a line change. I will throw some stats at you. Connor McDavid, 17-game point streak to start the season, a 25-game point streak dating back to the last regular season, and he has 19 career points in 12 games versus Dallas.
You know who he scored his first NHL goal against?
Was it us?
Yes, it was.
Was it in Edmonton or Dallas?
No, it was here.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were a big Stars fan.
No, I know. I was probably at the game. I am a big Stars fan.
You know what? The thing, and he hit the 600 point mark already.
Yeah.
Just try to even fathom that part of it. So you go back and you look at what McDavid is, and you said, yeah, you rattled off the numbers. And can you imagine those numbers if you're one of the Pacific teams and you have to play them 8 times a year?
No.
Yeah. So those are impressive numbers, but when you think about it, it's just in line with everything else he does. I mean, he is easily, and we know, I mean, he's the best player on the planet.
Yeah.
And it's funny because John Tortorella, who was left go from his duties.
Yep.
In Columbus.
Yep.
He is now doing some stuff on, I believe it's ESPN.
Yep, for ESPN Plus. We might see him tonight.
Yeah, and he's taken a little bit of some heat in the last couple of weeks, and McDavid even had a little shot at him. But he had said that Connor needs to change his game if they want to win in the playoffs. If they want to be a playoff team, Connor McDavid is out. You know, which I'm a guy, when Hitchcock was there, there were a couple things I had mentioned to Hitchcock about him, and just, you know, and he was a younger player at the time, that I think that he was one dimensional when he came in. Why wouldn't he be? And like I said, he's learned now how to be that all around center. And I think he's only going to continue to get better. But at this point in his career, that was a ballsy comment.
Yeah.
to say that, especially for a coach that's looking to get a job.
Yeah. So, yeah. No doubt.
You're basically telling the best player in the world he's going to have to change his game. So anyway, I don't know if anybody would ever have said about Wayne Gretzky when he was in his third or fourth year.
And I will say this, for the flopping that can happen at times in the NHL, he probably, because of his skating skills and because of his athleticism, they miss a lot of calls on him. So if he gets, you know, if he draws a penalty tonight, odds are it's probably legit.
Well, now, see, the way you word it is not the way it's being seen in the NHL. It's not that they miss him. And in the conversation for the last week or so has been about not the missing of calls, but because he's the best player in the game, do linesmen, referees, officials in general look at him saying, hey, you have more talent, more skill than anybody else in the game. These are things that you're going to have to fight through. And it is, if you're on that side, that I'm not on that side. The rules are the rules.
Right.
And if there is something on your hands, as a matter of fact, in the last game that they played, there was a clear cut call that what was, you know, now they're calling things on the hands a little bit easier. You know, you get your stick on a player's hands and immediately it's a penalty, which I don't like, but it is what it is. But David went down. And he went down and he wasn't embellishing or anything like that. And he got up and he kept on going, and which he does quite a bit. He doesn't sit there and complain about anything. But they had a shot of the linesman or the referee that came right to the bench. And he was trying to explain to him, I believe, why he didn't make that call. And McDavid's lips said, hey, that's okay. So there's that thing about, hey, he's the best player in the world. And he should, you know, he's got more talent than everybody else. So he's got to fight through this, which is totally wrong, like I said. And I think it's come out now in the last week to 10 days. So you have to be aware of it. And sometimes you have to take that penalty, because otherwise we've seen the highlights in the last 2 weeks of the goals that he can score.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, I'm better off taking a penalty on this guy and saving an opportunity for a sure goal. Well, that's not a bad concept, but their power play percentage is at 40%.
Amazing.
So, you know, it's the lesser of two evils. And not only that, he's kind of like Ovechkin. And Ovechkin goes over there and stands in one spot.
Yeah.
And he stands there and he plays the whole 2 minutes. McDavid's out there a lot of times for a minute 50, minute 40, but he is flying the whole time. So, you know, I don't know if there is the lesser of two evils. As a matter of fact, you know, I believe that if he's got you beat, you've got to do your best without taking a penalty on him, because with Draisaitl out there and everything else that they have and the rate that they can score in the power play, and especially for Dallas, that hasn't been a strong area of their game this year.
Nope.
Is their penalty killing. So they have to be aware. That's why I said special teams and goaltending, their power plays are right about the same percentage. Penalty killing is not. Edmonton is actually in the top three in both categories, penalty killing and power play. Dallas is a little bit further down the chart when it comes to killing off penalties. So they've got to be aware of that. They got to be ready for the start, and they got to be careful about you have to address those guys with numbers. You can't leave McDavid alone on one-on-ones. You have to have support from your forwards. You have to have three, four guys tight all over the ice tonight when those guys are on the ice.
And I don't think he's really that guy you can say, well, you know what, we got to be more physical with him, because he's a pretty physical, I'm not saying like he's overly physical, but he can be a pretty physical guy. He's not easy to A, catch, but B, push around.
Yeah, he's not. Well, again, I keep going back to Gretzky because he is the best guy to ever play the game up and, you know, until maybe a few years from now. But Gretz was a slighter build. Like, Gretz was small.
Yeah.
And he's not a big guy. McDavid's a big kid. He's a big kid. He skates. His legs are not together. I mean, his legs are wide apart. So he's got a strong base. We've seen him run people not over because he's that kind of a player. But he, when he's got the puck or wants the puck, he's like a dog on the bone. He wants the puck, and he can go through people to get it. And he will go into areas to take a hit. And I think that if there's been any criticism from probably their management and people around there, they wish he wouldn't be going at top speed, heading into the boards and trying to drive wide into the net and things like that, because he's had a couple of injuries because of that. But again, it's the way that he plays, and I commend him for it. I mean, he plays 100% on every shift, and he's got some lungs because he can extend shifts. And when you'd think he'd have to be on the bench and take a shift or two off, Tips got him right back out there the next shift, especially in their, late in the game, late in the period, or especially down a goal. But both him and Draisaitl can stay out there for a couple minutes at a time if they need him. A
couple quick
things. And we keep on glossing over Leon Draisaitl, but
he only
leads the league in goals, and I think he's more than a goal a game, guys.
So, leads the league in points, too.
Being the next guy to hit 50 and 50.
He's number one in points, and Connor McDavid's number two in points. I mean, this is... Hey, listen, I mean, I'm a Stars fan, but I'm happy for Edmonton. That's a good hockey city. You know, I think it's great for the NHL when cities like Edmonton with their rich hockey history come alive. So, I'm personally happy. I think it draws crowds. You know, hopefully there'll be a good crowd at the AAC tonight. Hopefully they understand what they're seeing, which I think has the potential to be an all-time great. I mean, right now you'd probably put him in the top 10. You're right. He needs some seasoning in a few more years, but two MVPs already. I mean, just a special player. Speaking of cities, wanted to get your thoughts as a guy who played in Quebec against the Nordiques. Do you think Quebec should get an NHL city?
I've thought Quebec should get an NHL team for a long time. Okay. The only problem that they have is there is an issue with the currency exchange. So when you're talking about building, what was the last building? $650 million, yeah. I think is what the Kraken had to pay. So that $650 ends up being $1 billion, $900 million, somewhere in that neighborhood because of the exchange rate and the dollar. And then when you're paying salaries in American money. So there's the exchange rate and the dollars. And so they've got to get a building. And yeah, I mean, I've thought last couple of years that they would be in the running for a team, but the financial thing comes into it. But there is, from what I understand, Mr. Bettman is going to have a meeting with some people from Quebec. But I had always heard that the number that they wanted to get to is 32, because if they get to 33 teams, that means they got to find another one to get to 34.
Yeah.
I think they like the divisions and the league and everything balanced. And
bring on Houston.
So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. I can see something where, I don't know if they've got the whole thing worked out in Arizona. I can see where a team like that may move somewhere, like an Arizona team, if that doesn't work out with, their building and their city and all those kind of things, that they could move a team there. Although Houston, I know Houston's in the running too, but to add another team, I don't know if they're ready to go down that road. But, again, the GMs will all vote for it because they're the ones, they're the ones getting them dollars when they come into the league.
And finally, Craig Ludwig's favorite Thanksgiving fixin'.
Miller Lite.
Not stuffing, not potatoes.
Well, I just put I don't put gravy on it. I just drizzle a little Miller Lite over it.
When you were on the road, did the team get together and have like a special gathering?
No, I think we had like a dinner and we would do something like that. I can't remember. I don't know if we did. If we did, it wasn't, you don't really make a big deal out of it. I think your families make a bigger deal out of it because we always seem to be gone on all the holidays. You know, you get a day and a half for Christmas and nothing for Easter and Thanksgiving. And so when you're home, I think the families, I think a lot of times we would rather be on the road. I can't wait till Friday. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I just, because it again, it's a mess when they want to have them, my kids all want to be here. And I try to tell them that we're going to have it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon so we can have it on the deck out by the lake. And then the coyotes will eat all the leftovers instead of me having to clean them up after they all take off, because I find bones and chicken and potatoes behind beds and in sheets about 2 weeks later.
So you want me over at 1 o'clock on Thursday?
I don't ever want you over here. So it doesn't, you know, unless you're going to bring your IT guy with you. Out here and fish, but
all right, Edmonton tonight, Avalanche on Friday, another two excellent tests for the Dallas Stars. That's going to do it for the Thanksgiving edition. We will talk to you next week. Craig, happy Thanksgiving. It's a pleasure teaming up with you on this podcast.
Happy Thanksgiving. First period and special teams tonight. Keep an eye on them.
There you go. There you have it from the two-time Stanley Cup winner. I'm Gavin Spittle. Thank you for listening to another edition of Spits and Suds.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.